Right, we're going to pick back up on this idea of magic. And one of our questions that we've been thinking about is why we think magic appears or doesn't appear in the fairy tales we've been listening to. Where should we start with this? Let's start talking.
It makes it much more interesting if there's magic in a tale because it adds an effect of surrealism to some tales that would otherwise be almost rather dismal.
I think sometimes there's enough magic in some tales that almost it goes overboard sometimes. As in the one where the woman who found freedom, when she lives in the whale, it's not completely surreal, but it has a bit of realism in it. But with some tales, they're just people plucking things out of thin air, and sometimes it makes it a bit unrealistic and a bit boring.
I think sometimes we might also want to remember that the sort of joy of storytelling and the joy of story listening perhaps involves in some way taking the ordinary out into the extraordinary. So how delightful to be in a fairy tale where, you know, a huge polar bear comes knocking at the door asking for a man's daughter, as we have at the start of East of the Sun and West of the Moon, and a whole host of other things. And, you know, magic is exciting, isn't it, in some of the stories?
Yeah.
Can we think of any other examples where magic is exciting and memorable?
I found Keep Your Secrets. That one, magic, really made the story. Because if magic didn't appear in the story, it wouldn't be anything exciting. So that's why I think magic appears in the story.
And what's your favourite magic moment in that story and why?
I like when the author doesn't tell us what the girl will have turned into. If the wolf was gonna eat her. I like when the author didn't tell us what she turned into.
So the secret stays a secret for the whole story, yeah.
So you start to wonder what's going to happen.
You do, it does. It makes you wonder. You're still thinking after that story's finished. What else can we make of magic in some of the stories that we've heard?
We often assume that they will take a logical way out of, let's say, a problem or a situation they're in, but then suddenly they often use magic to help themselves, and it completely makes us surprised and want to read more.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what I think is that the Syrian story that we read about, the man with the two wives, and he wanted them to spread their fingers.
The one from Suriname?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this was a very good story with morals, because both of the women were told the same thing. One of the women didn't understand it, and the other one did understand it. And the other one, I don't know if she was really greedy in that she didn't really spread her fingers and give food to lots of other people because she didn't really understand it. So it almost shows. But then the other woman, I think she was a very kind person, and she gave. She gave food to the people that were unfortunate, and then at the end it came back to pay her back, and it came to pay the other woman back because she didn't give anything to anyone. So it shows that sometimes life is brutal on you, because even if you don't understand something, sometimes you're still going to be perceived as being selfish and rude. So I think that just shows that you always have to think about others before you think about yourself.
Yeah, and sometimes I suppose rewards come back because of magic, and sometimes rewards come back through generosity and kindness, and that we've seen a bit of both throughout the different stories. What's been some of the most memorable magic then that we've come across, or sort of moments of fantasy, Tom? Can you think of
anything? I'm not really sure. All of them are quite memorable, or at least the stories that had magic in them. I don't think there is one that stood out the most to me, but I think maybe someone here would argue against it.
Are there other things that surprised you then? If we take magic out of the equation, what would some of the most surprising moments be?
Two women who found freedom, when they hid in a whale, and I thought they would just hide in the whale until morning or something, but no, they lived in the whale for the rest of their lives, which was quite interesting.
Yeah.
I think the most memorable moment, including magic, was probably after Parsley Girl found out that the nuns were actually witches. They'd managed to make people into casseroles and pies and tarts, but they still had full consciousness and could still speak.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's quite a nightmarish image, isn't it? And the casseroles, the food seems to be quite central to many of these stories, isn't it? I mean, Alex, maybe should we think about clever Gretel for a minute, and you know, the chickens.
When Clever Gretel got carried away with eating the chickens, that was quite a memorable moment because that was quite funny.
Yeah.
And sometimes humour can really affect the fairy tale, such as Clever Gretel and Parsley Girl. They were both quite humorous at points, so that sort of intrigued us even more. That's why I enjoy some of these fairy tales.
Yeah. Like, humour is important, isn't it? Because it sort of gives us it buoys us up, it gives us a certain type of resilience. What have been your most humorous moments, you two, from
any for me, probably the Parsley Girl, when she lied to her master and the guests, and it all went really wrong.
Clever Gretel, yeah.
Clever Gretel, when the master, when she told the guests that the master wanted to cut off their ears, that was.
Yeah.
Pretty humorous for me.
And the sort of mistiming and misinformation there. Ali?
Well, in Kakawashuk, I think that was the most memorable because when she had to dig through to the other side of the earth, it must have taken ages, but the story made it feel like it took minutes.
Yeah. And then to be presented with giant babies who then sort of looked after her. And I know that when we were reading it out, we sort of had laughter around the room. But wasn't that interesting? By the time we got to the end of Kakawashuk and we stopped and we thought about what that fairy tale might have meant, you know, the kind of laughter sort of stopped, didn't it? And I think we sort of came to this idea that it was actually quite a serious story, wasn't it? What are our thoughts on Kakawashuk? Let's just stay on Kakawashuk for a minute. Because we've talked about women being forced into having husbands or running away from husbands. But this was very much this idea of motherhood, wasn't it? And women wanting to have their own children. Should we just explore some thoughts on that?
I think that it's a strange book, Kakawashuk, because it has a surreal feeling to it, obviously, and that you have to dig to find a baby, and the strongest woman get the nicest baby, and you have to dig further to find a boy. But I think Kakawashuk, she really, really, really wanted a baby so much, and she had to go extreme lengths for it. And I think it just shows that if you really try hard to get to something, if you really, really want something, you can have it. And it's quite complicated, the fact that it shows sometimes that only the strongest will survive, as in only the strongest woman can get the best babies. So it shows how society is sometimes, in that you have to be the best to get things that you want.
It's quite brutal as well, isn't it? If we think about, we were saying that, you know, is it current now for us to make these assumptions that, you know, women need to have a family of their own, or women need to have marriages? And we talked about the differences of cultural values in different parts of the world, didn't we? And we talked about the arranged marriage and the pressure in The Fisher Girl and the Crab. So I think we've got to be careful, haven't we? Because some of what is precious in these fairy tales is because of where they come from and because of when they came from. And being able to enjoy them or be horrified by them in equal measure, but to understand that, you know, sometimes we don't need to sort of behave or live in the same way, do we? Alex?
What I think is that sometimes fairy tales, they can be humorous, or they can be dark. However, sometimes what I also feel is that if you know the origin of the fairy tale, it changes the scenery. So, for example, in Keep Your Secrets, I found that a